and for power. His work in organizing the poor to fight for their rights as citizens has been internationally recognized. In the late 1930s, he organized the Back of the Yards area in Chicago, Upton Sinclair's jungle. Subsequently, through the Industrial Areas Foundation, which he began in 1940, Mr. Radinsky and his staff have helped to organize communities not only in Chicago, but throughout the country, from the black ghetto of Rochester, New York, to the Mexican-American barriers of California. Today, Mr. Radinsky's organizing attention has turned to the middle class, and he and his associates have a training institute for organizers. Mr. Radinsky's early organizing efforts resulted in his being arrested and jailed from time to time, and it was on such occasions that he wrote most of Reveille for Radicals. He died in 1972. 1. Those involved in the Kodak fight battle knew that there was one issue: would Kodak or any other corporation recognize fight as the bargaining agent for the black ghetto of Rochester, New York? Once Kodak recognized fighters representing the black ghetto, we could come to the table to negotiate on all other issues, including the employment of more blacks. Kodak's recognition of fight would result in other corporations following suit, and this would lead to other programs and other issues. Kodak's subsequent recognition of fight caused Xerox to do the same, and resulted in the launching of a black-owned and black-man factory by fight, called Fightin', in collaboration with the Xerox Corporation. 2. The National Observer, July 17, 1967. Civil rights activists have devised a major new plan to bring pressure on some of the nation's biggest corporations, the National Observer learned last week. These activists plan to wage proxy battles, hoping to push management into providing more jobs for poor whites and Negroes. The Eastman Kodak case was the Gitter Post. It was not until the late blooming proxy battle that Rochester's fight made headway. Before the proxy fight, there were few ways in which pressure could be brought on the dominant international photography company. Eastman Kodak wasn't worried about what fight could do, and I don't blame them, Mr. Radinsky says. A boycott was out of the question. That would be like asking everyone to stop taking pictures. This called for a new kind of tactic, and we hit on one. We had all kinds of plans. We had heard that Queen Elizabeth owned Kodak stock. So we were considering throwing up a picket line around Buckingham Palace in London, and charging that the changing of the guard was a conspiracy to encourage picture taking. But we didn't have time to follow this, or a lot of other things up. If we have time to plan a campaign, it could be much more effective. The thought of the Buckingham Palace picket line may seem ludicrous, but it is typical of Radinsky methods, attention getting and outrageous to the point of amusement. His basic philosophy, as he has often stated, is that the poor, who lack the money or authority to challenge the power structure, must use the only weapon they have at their command: people and publicity.